chapter 3. We'll be looking at verses 6 through 10 this evening. And this is Paul's response to Timothy's report. First Thessalonians 3, verse 6. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now, the contents of Timothy's report on the spiritual condition of the saints at Thessalonica is recorded here in verse 6. Timothy brought back good news concerning the spiritual condition and welfare of the saints at Thessalonica. While Timothy was among them, he witnessed their faith, their love, and their love. And these are two graces that are essential, absolutely essential to a profession, a genuine profession of Christianity. These two graces are not only necessary to a genuine profession of Christianity, they're inseparable. You need them both. Where faith is operative, love for God, His ways, His people will also be abundantly evident. Where there is no evidence of the fruit of love, then there can be no assurance whatsoever that an individual has come to a genuine saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I mean, the first thing that the Holy Spirit does by way of a spiritual work in you is produce the fruit of love. He sheds abroad the love of God in your heart. And it changes you. Where there's no love, you can't really tell whether a person's truly saved. When Paul heard that faith and love abounded among the Thessalonians from the lips of Timothy, he rejoiced. And it made me think of something so vital. Our lives are affecting people. The way you and I live, we can be an encouragement or a discouragement to people within our sphere of influence. As others view our Christian life, we must live in such a way that they can see the graces of faith and love operating in us. If Timothy were required to report tonight on the condition of your spiritual life, your walk with God, what would be the contents of that report? What would he say about the members of Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church if he were taking a report back to the Apostle Paul? What would he say about you as an individual member? Are these graces of faith and love operating? Are they evident? Do people know that you love the Lord, that you're walking by faith, that you're believing His Word, that you're trusting His promises, that it's activated in your life? It ought to be living. These are not dead graces. They are living graces. I think I may be getting a little too frisky. And my voice may not be ready for it yet. I pray that God will give us grace to examine our lives and endeavor to have these graces operating in them. I've said it so many times. Little eyes are watching you. They're watching us. Timothy also assured Paul of the love and the affection that the saints at Thessalonica had for this blessed apostle. They remembered fondly his fruitful ministry among them. In fact, Timothy tells Paul they wanted to see him as much as he wanted to see them. And what that means is they had not been swayed by the opponents of Paul who were bringing slanders and accusations against him. From the report of Timothy, Paul knew that the saints at Thessalonica still respected, still loved him, in spite of the fact that he had to leave them so abruptly. So, this is settled now. They're confident of Paul's love for them, and he's confident of their love for him. Paul experienced great comfort of mind when he received the report brought by Timothy. In the midst of his own distress and present trouble, the good report was a source of great comfort and blessing to Paul. In times of discouragement or hardship or affliction, God knows just when to send blessings that serve to encourage us. God is ever present. He's real. He touches our lives. He is so concerned with each and every one of His children. And I'm so thankful for the times that He uses the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the testimony of the saints of God to bless and encourage one another. We don't know exactly, precisely, what distress Paul was experiencing at the time of Timothy's report, but from reading this, it was quite a shot in the arm for the apostle. When Timothy delivered the news to Paul, it was when the apostle was in Corinth. And there was a great opposition to the gospel. You read Acts chapter 18. The people there hated. They didn't want to hear it. There was a great uproar in the city. And Timothy's report could not have come at a better time. Paul's heart was filled with joy when he heard the good news about these Thessalonian believers. And it tells me we just don't know how our testimony is going to affect other people. We can be a great source of encouragement and blessing to others by serving the Lord, just by being faithful. Just being persevering and consistent. You don't have to do great things to be applauded by men. Just be faithful. I tell my kids, I tell my grandkids, do something every day. Make some progress every day, even if it's just reading a verse, a chapter of the Bible, spending some time in prayer, speaking a word in season to someone that may be down, writing a card of encouragement. I'm a little behind on my birthday cards. I've found that that's something that people really like it. I've been writing out cards for years, trying to think, and I hope none of you compare your cards. Because I'm sure that there's things that I may say to Phyllis that if you compare it, I might have said something similar to Susie. The point is, I'm just not that original. But you know what? It's the thought that counts, isn't it? To know that somebody cares about you and loves you. And I think we need to be more aware of this every day. That our lives, our testimonies, young and old, can affect other people in a positive way. When I hear of God's people abounding in the work of the Lord, it encourages my heart. It strengthens my faith. Now, verse 8, Paul said, "For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord." And I think it shows the reviving and refreshing way which the report of Timothy had on Paul and his missionary companions. We can't even begin to imagine the hardships that they went through in the first century. Just traveling from place to place, not knowing what the future held, it seemed like everywhere they went, they were slandered, they met with opposition, they lived hand to mouth, and yet they lived by faith. And they must have been going through a time of discouragement, where they were disheartened and dispirited. And that happens. It happens to human beings. I often think of how my life was before I was saved and how I would get so miserable. And I would feel like there's just no way out of this mess that I've created and made of my life. And then the Lord saved me. And it opened up so many blessings and the power of God and the grace of God and the joy in Christ. And then it was multiplied even more as I went to church and I made friends and I talked with the brethren and I preached the Word. It's amazing how many ways God brings blessings into your life. And we need, especially in times of discouragement, to draw on those reservoirs of grace and encouragement that God has given us. Count your blessings. Think about all the joys God has given you. But it made me think that even Paul experienced those kind of emotions. However, when he heard of the steadfastness of the Thessalonians, it was like a life-giving tonic to the heart and the soul of the apostle. He had risked his life to minister among them. Timothy says, their love, their faith is growing. They love you. They're praying for you. They know you're concerned about them. And it just, he said, that's a life-giving tonic to me. And the verse also displays the great heart that Paul had for the saints at Thessalonica. Even though he was in the midst of distress and discouragement, he considered their spiritual advancement as a great source of spiritual encouragement to his life. in a very real way, the life and vitality of a preacher is definitely affected by those that he ministers to. I've been so blessed. I've only been a member of three churches. Four, technically, because I was a member of the mission of Bryan Station. Originally, I was a member of Bryan Station Baptist Church, and then when Providence Baptist was organized, Wilmington Baptist was organized, I was a member of that there. And then I started to work in Xenia, Ohio, and we were there for almost, not quite 8 years, Providence Baptist Church. And then I came here. Everywhere I've gone, I've been blessed to have wonderful people to pastor. But I've been to churches. I've preached all over. And I've been to churches where members literally sit with their arms crossed and just almost staring at the pastor like try to bless me. I despise you. You know? And I think to myself, well, yeah, really I should keep my thoughts to myself. Because when I see stuff like that, I would love to throw a song book at them. That's how I'd like to respond. It's just part of my fleshly nature. Forgive me. It may be one of the reasons, maybe you all are scared to do it. I don't know. But when I see pastors have to deal with members that are always sour, it really makes me think of how blessed I've been to pastor people that love the Lord, that love their pastor. When a pastor sees his flock growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, standing fast in Christ, and faithfully serving the Lord, it refreshes, it encourages him in a great way. Pray for pastors. You know, not only, we're living in a day and age where there are not many pastors available. Churches are losing pastors. The ministry, I don't know. It's sad to see. Many are just not prepared for the ministry and what you have to deal with. So it's encouraging. But we need to pray for pastors. Pray that God will bless them and their members as they minister to them. And then in verse 9, he expresses his thanks to God. And I love this about Paul. He's always thanking God for the people that he ministers to. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. He expresses his thanks to God for the testimony and the faithfulness of the saints there at Thessalonica. The favorable report of Timothy caused the heart of the apostle to rejoice and thank God. And again, it made me think. I wonder, when people think of us, do our lives give them cause for joy or sorrow? Are our testimonies sources of encouragement or discouragement for others? And Paul's response here is a lot like that of John in 3 John verses 3 and 4, where he said, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." The greatest gift and source of encouragement a congregation can give to their pastor is to faithfully walk in the truth and to live a life pursuing godliness. That's the best gift you can give a pastor. And then in verse 10, he reveals again his great desire to see the Thessalonians again face to face. He says he prayed night and day. He prayed exceedingly that he might have the opportunity to minister to them in person once again. They didn't have sermon audio. They didn't have Facebook Live. They didn't have YouTube. And he longed to enjoy their fellowship, to see their eager faces as he taught them the truths of God. He wanted to supply what they lacked concerning the faith. Yes, their faith was growing, but they were new. And he wanted to establish them. He'd only been with them for a short time, and he was unable to declare the whole counsel of God to them. They were lacking in instruction, and he wanted to supply their need through more teaching. He wanted to perfect that which was lacking in them. And that word perfect or perfect carries with the idea of completion or bringing to maturity. Paul wanted to minister to the people in such a way that he would be able to see them brought to spiritual maturity. You know, a preacher never feels as though his job is done as long as there are people to minister to. It's one of the drawbacks of the ministry. You never actually know when your job's done. I've said it a lot. You know, when I was a meat cutter and my responsibility was to go in and set up my case, cut the meat, display it, sell it. When I was done that day, I knew that my job was done. I've been preaching for 41 years. And my job's never done. It's always going, as long as I have breath and people to minister to, my job is never done. And that's how he felt. Everyone has areas in their spiritual lives that need improvement. And it's the pastor's job to seek the face of God to direct him to teach what the people need most, to promote their spiritual welfare, their growth in grace. Now, God never reveals special things to me. I'm never going to come up to you and say, you know, God's revealed something real new to me and I think you need... That's nonsense. It's all right here. It's right in this book. I used to really struggle when I was a younger preacher. And I know you all think I'm still young, but I'm getting a little agey. But I used to struggle about what to preach. Am I preaching what the people need? And clearly, on my knees one day, it just struck me that Jesus said, "Sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth." The word of God, that came to me in power. And I thought, as long as I'm preaching the truth of the word of God, that's what they need. And so that's what I do. And I pray God gives me grace in many years, if it's His will, to continue doing just that. Let's all stand. This battery's going.